We don't have a lot of pink-kneed tarantulas, bearded dragons, Burmese pythons, or brown caiman in Vermont. But when there is one that needs to be captured or confiscated, Chad Barrett is the guy to do it. He's a warden with Vermont Fish and Wildlife, and he's their exotic animal expert, and he joins me now. Warden Barrett, what a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So people may have heard that you were sort of spearheading the recovery of a very large reticulated python in Vermont a couple weeks ago now, maybe the largest snake ever recovered in Vermont?
Yeah, I think it was. It's definitely the largest one that I've dealt with since I've been doing this. Yeah, that was one that somebody had taken custody of and realized, I think, very quickly after they'd had it for a day or so that it was just too large for them to handle safely. And so they contacted us right off, and we got some resources that we have out of state from a reptile sanctuary to come up. And I employed a couple other wardens from the area, and it took about five of us to handle that thing.
How much did it weigh?
It was roughly about 225 pounds.
Wow.
After we got it down to the sanctuary, they measured it that night, and the female, which was a larger one, was 19 feet 3 inches long. And then there was a 14.5-foot male that was about 170 pounds.
When you get a call like that, that there's a very large snake and you're going to have to go deal with it, are you excited? Do you get nervous?
No, I get excited. I've been, I guess, handling reptiles since I was a small child growing up here in Vermont. So I get excited about it. When I came on 8 years ago, there wasn't really anybody handling the exotic wildlife. So I volunteered to do it, and they sent me off to do some training out of state. So I had a lot of stuff for how to identify them, number one, and handle them, number two. So, yeah, it's exciting to me. But when somebody says I have a large, huge, or enormous, whatever word they use, I always have to remember that, are they using a real scale or their snake scale? Because to me, a huge snake was like the one you just spoke of, a 20-foot snake. To some people, a huge snake is a 6-inch garter snake on their lawn.
That's true. So you got some training to do this, but you know, if you're working with native species, you can really become an expert in the species that we have here, because
right.
There's a limited number of them. You generally know what they are. How do you get yourself trained up so that you, I mean, you may not be an expert in every single species, but so that you have a sense of how to deal with everything from reptiles to arachnids to maybe a weird wild animal that has been trafficked or that is here and shouldn't be? I mean, how do you even know how to deal with all those species?
Again, I got sent out of state and did some great training down at the Rainforest Reptile Shows in Massachusetts through the owners there. They did some excellent identification stuff and had me do some hands-on stuff. And that was handling I handled a lot of rattlesnakes, handled a cobra, handled a lot of constrictors, alligators, and tons of other lizards and some arachnids. And I also use a facility over in New Hampshire that does educational stuff, the Upper Valley Reptile Group. And she has a lot. Christina, who runs that, has a lot of animals over there that I can go over and handle. And I've brought her a few that I've actually recovered, which she uses in her educational programs, or finds rehomes them, particularly ones that have been left behind or found outdoors. But along with that, I constantly have to keep up to date through multiple different zoological websites on what's this, what's that. And so I'm constantly training a lot of stuff online or through local colleges or whatever, contacting people of that trade. And sometimes when I have something, I have to send pictures almost around the world to say, hey, I think I know what this is. This is close. Am I right or not? And so usually they'll help me out. We had a particular situation where I was notified that a lady had gotten bit by a scorpion, and she was in the hospital here in Burlington. They weren't exactly sure what to do or how to handle that, because it depends on what type of scorpion it is.
Mm-hmm.
So
which type of antivenom they'd want to use.
Exactly, or how to just treat it. And, and if they didn't need antivenom, is it one that's not as much venomous, so you treat it like a wasp sting, or is it one that really needs some more intense in-hospital treatment? So we figured all that out, and you know, between me and the New England Poison Center and some doctors in Mexico and overseas, we figured out what it was. So it's constantly staying in touch with people.
It
ended up being I'd say Central American scorpion, which also has a group that has grown in Central Florida. They also live there now. So we figure it got on the plane that she just got off from some spring breaker probably in Mexico and crawled into her jacket pocket. When she stuck her hand in there, it stung her.
Ooh, I can see people are probably cringing as they listen to this.
I can imagine.
So are you mostly dealing with people who have gotten pets and then have realized this isn't something that I can handle? Or are there other situations? Are you dealing with wildlife trafficking that, you know, are problematic in Vermont?
It's a little bit of both. Some of it is people trafficking some of our native wildlife out in exchange for a different type of exotic wildlife that isn't here. We've seen some of that. We've also seen a lot more in the pet trade where somebody got something, you know, it was a cute 10-inch alligator 5, 6, 7 years ago. Now it's a 5-foot crocodile that I have in my apartment in Burlington, and I'm moving and my new landlord won't let me have it. What do I do? So I was contacted in a scenario like that about 5 years ago when I ended up taking a 5.5-foot brown caiman out of an apartment, which was a crocodile of sorts. So yeah, it's mostly seems to be lately the pet trade. Somebody in the pet trade has something that they either no longer want or realized wasn't what they wanted it to be when they first got it. And I've had a couple scenarios where they purchased it or picked it up from someone else, didn't really look at it, got it home, opened the container, and they're like, that's not what I thought it was.
Are like, these okay. always animals that are illegal in Vermont, or are you also helping people who, you know, again, may have a legal animal but can't handle it, and rather than, you know, ditch it in a local pond where, I mean, there have been cases in other states, at least, where species have been introduced in that kind of way and have started to take over?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that we don't want to do. But yeah, in most cases, it's some of them are illegal. Some of them are not illegal. Depends on the species. And we have lists on our website that tell what's restricted, what's not restricted. Some of them are restricted species. Some of them are non-restricted. And just trying to help them home them before they want to go out and release them into the wild, or they want to kill them just because they don't want to care for them anymore or whatever. So we try to find avenues and facilities where we can get those out before. We found an alligator years ago that was shot in the head and left on the side of the road. Not sure exactly what happened. I'm guessing it got too big or was costing too much or did something, you know, bit the family dog. I don't know. So they got rid of it. And we found a 12-foot Burmese python on the side of the road in central Vermont a couple springs ago, which was dead. Of course, it looked like it was released probably the fall before, never made it through winter. So the scenarios are different, but it includes both of those legal and illegal species.
Could you tell me about the pink-kneed tarantula? I didn't even know that tarantulas had pink knees.
Well, yeah, it was a different species of tarantula. And that one actually was not one that I had to go confiscate or take from someone. That was actually one of Christina's over at Upper Valley Reptile Group. She was doing an educational display over at vet clinic in Norwich, Vermont, and it was one of the things that she had there, and I actually put it on my uniform, and the kids were watching, and then they took some pictures of it. So,
and tarantulas, if I remember correctly from my days in Los Angeles, look scarier than they actually are. They don't, they can't bite people, or they often don't?
They can, but they often don't. They're more docile than not, usually. So, yeah.
So when you see a deer or a bear now in Vermont, are you like, ugh, whatever, I see those all the time. Give me a tarantula or a caiman.
There are days when I feel like that, yes.
We've been talking with Chad Barrett. He's a warden with Vermont Fish and Wildlife, and he is the exotic animal specialist with the Fish and Wildlife Department. Thank you so much for telling us a little bit about your job.
Not a problem. Thank you for inviting me.